He is told to honor his father and mother, but this is hard for a child who seldom sees his father, also whose mother spends most of her days or nights at work. We could go on with more of such conflicts, but enough have been given to indicate that the child's world, more than our adult world, is a confused world. It must be extremely hard to grow up in a society characterized by so many conflicts. Specialists in child psychology who view the picture from the long range of history are asking questions they never asked before. Is it perhaps true, they wonder, if perhaps the human personality is radically different now than it was even two generations ago? Their answer is, they do not think so. They assign other causes that seem more reasonable. Let me quote from a standard, highly respected child psychologist. Does this suggest that human beings are more inconsistent now than ever before in the history of mankind? Most probably not. What it does suggest is that with the development of all these new means of mass communication, with the increased travel, with the increased moving around of people, more children are exposed to more of these inconsistencies. This means that it is increasingly difficult for the growing child to develop clear values of his own. There is so much confusion surrounding him and so little attention paid to the child's dilemma. So few persons with the time and patience to listen to him and to help him untangle some of the confusion, that he simply remains without sufficient clarity of belief or purpose. Unquote. What this means for Catholic educators must be obvious. They cannot expect the catechetics of a former age to meet the desperate needs of today's children. What it also means is that there are no simplistic solutions. You do not solve the chaotic complexities of modern existence by running away from them. Suppose a number of statistical studies show that children betray confusion of judgment on moral questions. A bit of realism should protect us from jumping to the conclusion that until now we have been mistaken about their age of discretion. Years before adolescence, children reach the age of discretion, all right. But they need, not later, but earlier than ever, persons with the time and patience to help them untangle some of the confusion that envelops the modern child. On a supernatural plane, the Church's judgment should also be trusted. That a child of 7 is in many ways more precocious today than a child in 1910 when St. Pius X mandated early confession and communion for children. But this very precocity needs, more than in 1910, the inflow of divine grace which Christ bestows on all who receive His sacrament of peace. We do not consider it coercion to suggest, and if need be insist, that a child get a balanced diet of food or adequate sleep and be properly clothed. No parent believes he is unduly tampering with a child's liberty by sending it, perhaps reluctantly, to school. A Catholic cannot afford to follow a double standard where the spiritual needs of God's children are concerned. After all, before they belong to parents or teachers, they belong to Him. Thank you for listening. Would you relate, please, what you spoke of in your last lecture about the church? The church exists. It has existed for 1900 years. It is not in the process of becoming. With the words of Pope Paul VI spoken during a public audience at St. Peter's, commenting on Matthew's gospel, "Upon this rock I will build my church." I think the question behind the question, and this is always what I ask myself when I get questions from an audience, I think behind this question is what I say because the church says it, that those who are validly baptized, who believe in the Trinity and in Christ's divinity and His redemptive salvation, are members of the mystical body of Christ. I say that because the church says it. What is the problem? The problem is, well, where do we Catholics come in? Isn't our Catholicism cheapened by having those who are not obviously Roman Catholics also belong to the mystical body of Christ? No. Christ founded only one church. Anyone who fulfills the conditions described is incorporated into Christ. But as the same council who gave the description I had previously quoted says, there is such a thing as degree and degree of incorporation. There is greater and greater, or lesser and lesser, incorporation into Christ, and then the corresponding access to the grace which comes from the one Christ in whom all who are Christians are incorporated. Only one who belongs to the Catholic Church has access to the fullness of God's grace. But I must add, he must also cooperate with this fullness of access which he has. If having full access and he fully cooperates, he is in a condition which is far superior to that. of one who may indeed be a sincere Christian, but does not enjoy the plenitude of God's revelation or the opportunity to give himself as totally to the Christ in whom both he and we believe.
This tape was produced by Select Religious Recordings. All rights are reserved. Duplication or transcription in any form is strictly prohibited.